Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to welcome you to our broadcast tonight, Glory to God. Tonight we are going to have a very illustrious speaker on, and his name is Bishop Gerald Scott, and he is my husband. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're looking for an uplifting word from the Lord. We're looking to be more educated than we already are. We're looking to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, as he brings forth the word. Glory to God. But before we go any further, we're going to have a word of prayer. And I have two people on the line already, and I'm just going to pick one. And whoever I pick, maybe you can just go ahead and lead us in the word of prayer. I'm going to go to area code 216. Hello, area 6.
I don't know why I feel like I've been set up. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Is this Apostle Timberlake?
It most certainly is. It most
okay,
certainly
amen,
is.
Amen.
God bless your bless your heart. Amen. I'd be more than honored to amen, lead us in a prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Dear God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we come before you, Lord God, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're thanking you, Lord God, in advance right now for that you have done, that you're going to do, and, Lord God, that you're doing right now in our lives. I want to thank you, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ for, oh, my God, and I seek for blessing my daughter, Lord God, and having a baby today in the most high, the name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Be, Lord God, in everything that we do and say tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint, Lord God, this broadcast tonight. Use the speaker, Lord God, like never before in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we give your name the praise and all the glory and all the honor that you so richly deserve. God, I praise you. Glory be to God. I'm going to tell God, I praise you. Hallelujah. You're a good God. You're a merciful God. You're a kind God, and I thank you. Let your power, Lord God, all be exhibited tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the sick be healed. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, glory be to God. Work miracles today. Hallelujah. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that you so richly deserve. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, thank you so much for that prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just thank God. Hallelujah. Because we know, hallelujah, that we are going to be blessed on tonight. Hallelujah. We just thank God for the word coming forth tonight. But before we go into the word, we're just going to give one more quick song, and then I'm going to come back and introduce my husband a little bit, because some of you have heard his story, but I'm just going to introduce him a little bit, okay? So let's go to this one song.
There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of
Jesus.
There's salvation in the name of
Jesus.
The Bible says that demons tremble at the sound of that name. Jesus, my sweet Rose of Sharon, my Lily of the Valley. Oh, that's the reason I say that
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind and traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But there's one thing I do know, that Jesus is the way.
you think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, but the word of God is true, and everything he promised, he would do it for you. That's the reason I say,
there's no other. Jesus is the way, and he's the only way. There is no other way, as we know. Now, at this time, we're going to bring on our guest speaker tonight, who is my husband, who is no guest to me, but he is my wonderful husband of almost 14 years. this month, actually, February 14 years ago was when we met, working at a daycare center. So we've been together ever since then, and I thank God for him. He's truly been a man of God. He's been a man of his word. Even through my shortcomings, he's really, you know, been there as a couple of times. I don't know why he stayed. I would have left myself, but I couldn't. So, but he stayed with me through it all. So I thank God for that. My husband's been preaching since I was 3 weeks old. Yeah, I was 3 weeks old when he started preaching. And he hasn't been quiet since. So without further ado, we're going to hand the floor over to my husband. And, honey, it's 5:13, so you can take the remainder of the program and use it however the Lord sees fit. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much, dear wife, evangelist, Teresa J. Scott. Truly, we count it a privilege that you thought it not robbery to add this humble servant to your broadcast this evening. To Apostle Timberlake for your fine, fervent prayer, we thank you. To Apostle Greenleaf, we thank you. To Prophetess Greenleaf and all of those who are on the broadcast, whether live studio, whether in the chat room, or will be on at the archive, in the archives, we pay homage to each and every one of you, giving honor to Almighty God, who's the author and finisher of thy faith and our faith. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the answer for the world today. Whether the world believes it or not, he is the answer. And he is our Lord, and he is our master, or so he should be.
Or he should be.
Or so he should be. Tonight we're going to ask that question. We're going to probe into that question as to the lordship of Christ. Is he truly Lord of your life? Is he truly your master? And do we know the extent of what those two words mean? And when we say them, do we really honestly believe that he is our Lord and he is our master? Maybe we want him to be. Maybe we wish he were. Maybe we're moving toward that to be the truth one day in our lives. But we must be honest with ourselves so that we can become all that God requires us to be. And so we're going to, for a few moments, we're going to deal with the Lordship of Christ. If there were only three words that might be allowed to speak, the word should be Jesus is Lord. There is no middle ground to them for those of us who consider ourselves Christian. Yeshua, Jesus, must be Lord of all, or he can't be Lord at all. Let me say that again. Yeshua, Jesus, must be Lord of all, or he can't be Lord at all. He's not Lord over the things you want to give him. He's not Lord over the things that you want to relinquish to him. He's not going to be Lord over some things, but not other things. It's a case of all or nothing at all.
My God.
As believers, we are no longer our own. We belong to the one who gave up his life at Calvary.
Yeah.
He writes these divinely inspired words as recorded in Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. For we are not our own masters when we live or when we die. While we live to please the Lord. And when we die, we go to be with the Lord. So, in life and in death, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, so that he might be Lord of those who are alive and of those who have died. I read from the New Living Translation. In the dictionary, Lord is defined as one who has absolute power and authority. When we think about Lord, our minds go to the word commitment. But in truth, the word we should consider when thinking about Lord is surrender. Uh-oh, hear that? I thought commitment, being committed to something, was a high standard. Oh, yes, it is. But when we are committed, we are still in control. But when we surrender, we release our control. Remember in the war movies and in real life, when you see armies fighting and one's getting the advantage over the other one, one waves the white flag when they want to surrender. That means that we give up. We're going to give ourselves totally into your control. We no longer have control. We're waving the white flag of surrender. Not the white flag of commitment, but the white flag of surrender. We are no longer going to fight against you. We're not only going to resist you. We're going to submit ourselves totally to you, into your authority, into your power. We have to begin to wave the white flags in our lives unto the Lord. Lord, I surrender. I fought against you all these many years. I surrender. I even fought against you while I was a believer. I surrender. I give all power and authority into your hands. I surrender. I'm going to lay down my weapons, my tools by which I resist you. I'm going to lay down the sin that so easily besets me. I'm going to lay it down. And I'm going to surrender all who I am to you. How many of us have decided to commit our lives to Christ, but have not yet surrendered unto him? Maybe that's why our commitment level is not as deep as it should be, because we commit without surrendering. So when we find that we're in disagreement, we pull back on the commitment because we haven't surrendered ourselves totally to his will and totally to his way. It can become so easy to commit with our mouths without ever surrendering our hearts to God. But remember, it's the heart that counts. For as Christ himself once said, for where a man's treasure is, that is where his heart is also. St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. I know that it's not easy to completely surrender control over to someone else. In fact, it can be quite intimidating. But unless we allow Yahshua Jesus to be Lord over every aspect of our lives, he can't be Lord of any part of our lives. As believers, it is imperative that we surrender ourselves to Christ's absolute authority, majesty, and power. There's no getting around it. We can't be sometiming. Christ said there in the book of Revelation, I'd rather have you hot or cold. I'll spew out if you're lukewarm. So are you willing to give your entire life into the hands, into the authority, into the power of Christ? That's what we must ask ourselves this evening. And have we done it? Is he truly Lord as we define Lord? Have we surrendered totally to him completely? Not a portion, like the old hymn we used to say, almost persuaded. Almost persuaded still lands you in hell. Uh-oh. Almost persuaded the favor of God will not be bestowed upon you if you're almost persuaded. Almost only counts in horseshoes. It don't count in heaven.
Well.
In the New Testament, Yahshua Jesus is referred to as Lord no less than 747 times, proving without a shadow of a doubt that his lordship is of vital importance in the process of both salvation and faith.
Yes.
In Christ's day, the word Lord was used in four ways, and we're going to discuss them this evening. The first way, it was a greeting, meaning sir, as in expressing one's respect to a wise and learned teacher. The second way was to acknowledge our submission as slaves to his mastery. Then it is used as a title of honor to a king. Finally, Lord is used of God in praise and in worship. All four meanings of the word Lord is intrinsically linked to our Savior. To become a Christian, you must confess with your mouth, according to Romans 10:9, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. To truly have faith, the faith that God is pleased with, each of us must accept Yahshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, as Lord, our teacher, our master, our king, and our God. Let's now turn our attention and take a look, closer look at these four aspects of the lordship of Christ. Obeying his teaching. Trusting in Christ as Lord involves accepting the truth and authority of his teaching. Subsequent to acknowledging the truth of his teachings, we are to obey and live by them.
Yeah.
To be not only hearers, as James would remind us, but doers of the word. We love to quote and we love to state and we love to proclaim and we love to pronounce the words that are written in the Holy Bible. But only when we begin to live those words and they become alive and real to us can we really ever claim him as Lord. The greatest inconsistency and error that a believer can make is to call Yahshua Lord while at the same time disregarding his divine instruction. Let me say that again. It's inconsistent. It's almost hypocritical to claim Yahshua as Lord and yet at the same time disregard his divine instruction. Tells me to go left and I decide to go right. But he's my Lord. Tells me to feed the hungry, but I keep everything in my coffers for myself. But he is Lord. Tells me to visit the sick, and I wouldn't come close to a sick man's bed, afraid I might catch a disease. But I call him Lord. If we say it, we got to believe it. If we use the word, we got to live it.
My God.
Saying is the extent of what that word means.
Adi.
Christ says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into into the kingdom of heaven, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Yeah.
When penetrating came to Christ, said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord?
My God.
Do you disregard everything I tell you?
Yeah.
I tell you, take up your mantle and follow me daily. And you follow me when you choose to follow me.
My God.
You agree with. You seek me only when you fought everybody else first. Then you turn to me when they don't have the answer.
My God.
But yet I'm your Lord.
My Jesus.
I'm the one you say has all authority and all power in your life. You say, I'm the one who has all the answers. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Well, the world starts with you.
Lord.
If he don't have the answer for your life, it doesn't matter what he's done for the world. If he's not the Lord of your life, it means nothing to you.
Come on.
Acknowledging Christ as Lord is being a disciple who accepts and then lives by his instructions.
Yeah.
Only when we begin to walk according to what he taught can we achieve the spiritual growth and maturity that God gives us.
Glory. My God.
Can I grow in Christ?
Hey,
don't even
glory.
Christ. How can I grow spiritually and I'm not led by the Spirit?
Now break it down.
And don't know the spleen from the large intestine.
My God.
Don't know the tonsils from the adenoid. I'm a doctor. I don't know the left eye from the right eye, but put your eyes in my hand.
Yeah.
If he is not the one who's leading you, you have no spiritual growth. You have no spiritual maturity. I don't care how prosperous you are.
My God.
I don't care how gifted you are.
Mm.
How talented you are.
Mm.
Growing spiritually in the sight of God.
My God.
If you follow the teachings and commands of Christ to the letter, then he truly has become your Lord.
Mm.
If you are sincerely striving but have not committed totally to his command, then he's becoming your Lord. On the other hand, you find yourself struggling and following his teachings, seek ways to excuse your failure, and have no real intention of becoming the person that he commands and expects. He's neither your Lord.
Thank you.
He ever be your Lord. You hear me? If you struggle following his teachings, find excuses for your failure. No real intention of changing who you are, because that's the way we always have done it in my family.
Thank you.
This is who I am.
Jesus.
That's a generational curse.
My ass.
A curse, and you have the blessing of God in your life, and you still live on a curse?
Jesus.
You're talking about an oxymoron.
Yes, indeed.
More moron than oxy.
My God.
You're under the generational curse, but I'm blessed by God. Blessed by, shower me with your blessing. Shower down. I'm still cursed. I'm being showered with blessings, but they're not strong enough to break the curse. You're a liar, and the truth's not in you.
Come on. Jesus.
Just call it like it is.
Jesus.
I'm still doing what my mammy used to do. I'm still doing what my daddy used to do.
Thank you.
But you saved. You got Christ. He's your Lord.
Glory.
Deceive yourself. Be honest with yourself. Like the old saying, to thy own self be true.
Yeah.
I don't need you got it, but to see your own self, be true.
Be true.
That's right.
Be true.
Want to deceive me, that's okay. But to your own self, for God's sake, be true.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
Yeshua Jesus said, not everyone. You don't fool Christ by saying, Lord, Lord. He knows your heart.
Come on.
You know, we're good at saying that, you know. Well, the Lord knows my heart.
Come on, yeah.
I'm the Bible study pastor, but the Lord knows my heart. I'm too tired to make prayer meeting, Lord, but the Lord knows my heart.
Well,
so you're going to watch in the news.
Come on now.
And after that, you're going to watch some kind of program on TV that you probably shouldn't even watch. Some drama that's going to shoot somebody, kill somebody.
Lord have mercy.
Cut somebody out.
My God. My God.
Somebody's sister's mother's friend. I'm too tired to come to Bible study.
My God.
Yeah.
He knows my heart. He knows I'm there in spirit. Or what kind of spirit you there for?
I have a glory.
What spirit is in the place when you over there watching TV you shouldn't be watching?
Jesus.
Finding with your beer in your hand.
Mighty God.
But
mighty God.
Lord knows my heart, Pastor. I'm calling the next Wednesday.
Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's not telling me right now. I won't see you next Wednesday either. If I can.
My God.
That's why Paul said, I haven't attained it yet, but I'm pressing. Sometimes it's a press to the mark of the high calling.
Yeah.
Not an easy road. It's a press sometimes. Sometimes you got to make yourself do.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
but I think he's wiping if he's your Lord.
Yes.
He's worth it if he's your Lord. Now, if he's not your Lord, then I understand why you sitting there with your Budweiser.
My
God. Your Bible. I understand why. He's not your Lord.
Jesus.
So you went online. So you don't think being in Christ brings peace. You think the Budweiser and watching TV does.
My.
Not your Lord. If he's not your Lord, I expect that of you.
My God.
What you would do. You prefer that other than following him because he's not your Lord.
Hello.
If he's not your Lord, you don't feel an obligation to him.
Come on.
You don't feel a duty to him, and you haven't surrendered yourself to him. You're still watching the sport event.
Like
you're going to basketball now. The Super Bowl's over. We're anticipating April when baseball again, so we're going to sit back and enjoy the day.
My God.
On Sunday, we'll give them morning, but then we got to be out by 1 because that's when the baseball game starts.
Yeah.
Or the football game, or the basketball game, or the cricket game, or the hockey game, or the tiddlywink game, whatever game's on TV that we prefer to watch other than being in his presence.
Ah, Jesus.
But he's Lord. Lord of my life. Who are you trying to fool?
Jesus.
Who are you trying to fool? Who are you trying to flim-flam?
Come on.
Ain't fooling and flim-flamming God.
Abba.
But he's so loving and so gracious, he allowed you to wake up last Sunday knowing that this Sunday you're not even going to church.
Oh, Lord.
That's how good of a God he is.
My Jesus.
My God. Also
said,
this is Christ now speaking, he said, you call me teacher and the Lord, and you're right in doing so, for that is what I am.
Yeah.
Sure you, most solemnly, I tell you, a servant, really a slave, is not greater than his master, and no one who is sent is superior to the one who sent him.
Yeah.
If you do these things, blessed and happy, and to be envied are you, if you practice, if you act accordingly and really do them. Not just talk a good game.
Oh, come on.
Christians can talk a good game, I'm going to tell you. Man, we can razzle-dazzle. I think we can razzle-dazzle the devil with how so eloquent and so convincing and so religiously correct and the V's, the vowels are all in the right place. Unless we forget, Christ didn't speak in Middle English.
That's right. That's
he
right.
Now.
That's
he
right.
Or
me.
He spoke Hebrew or Aramaic.
Yes.
But he certainly didn't speak Middle English.
My God.
So we think because I said thee and thou, I'm holy. Oh, no.
Yeah.
My dear hearts, don't be deceived.
Lord.
He's your Lord. That means he's your teacher. And if
my
he's
God.
Your teacher, you are supposed to follow his teachings, his commandments, his oracles, his word. If you don't do that, then he's not your teacher.
My Lord.
Maybe a teacher. but so was your third grade teacher. And how much do you remember what she told you? How much of what she told you do you still remember? I'm 61. I don't hardly know anything she taught me.
Okay.
Let's go now to serving. We're going to obey him as teacher. Let's talk about serving Christ as master.
My Lord.
If you have a problem with a teacher, you're going to sure enough have a problem with a master.
Wow.
See, he's Lord and master. We're going to see if he's... you ask yourself, was he still teaching Lord first? Now we're going to talk about whether he's your master. As African-Americans, this is Black History Month, right?
Right.
We have a preconceived idea of what a master is from our own shared experience of slavery in the United States. From 1619 to 1865, technically, the first imported African slaves were brought by the Spanish to St. Augustine, Florida, in 1565. This time, millions of black people in this country have lived under the harsh and cruel chains of this inhumane, barbaric system of generational servitude. Under this system, two main characters often reluctantly coexisted one with another, the slave and his master. Now, even though the American system was peculiar in its savagery and inhumanity and diametrically contrary to the moral values and high standards of our Lord Jesus, the concept of master, which simply means one who possesses absolute control over another, and slave, which is defined as one who submits and subjects himself to the authority and control of another, there's a primary criteria to anyone who confesses Yahshua Jesus as Lord, St. John 13:13. You can't deny the fact that he's your master.
My Lord.
And that you are his slave. Now, the single most commonly used word in the New Testament to describe Christians is the Greek word doulos, which means slave. Now, early English Bibles, including the most popular King James Version, translated this word into either bondservant or servant. Now, at first glance, you may wonder, what's the big deal? I mean, a servant, a bondservant, a slave, what's the big deal? You're hopping on semantics, man.
Yeah.
You call it an apple, I call it an apple. You know, we call it tomato, you call it tomato. We call it the potato, you call it potato. What difference does it make?
Come on now.
Well, first of all, servants commit themselves to the master, while slaves surrender themselves to their master. Next, servants were workers that were paid. Slaves were not paid, but owned. Servants could quit if they wanted to. Slaves could not.
That's right.
Servants could have more than one job. Slaves could only work for their master as he saw fit.
That's true.
So there is a difference between a servant and a slave. So why did these translators use the word servant instead of slave? Well, you got to look at the context of things. Remember, the King James Version was written in 1611. I just told you slavery began in 1619. Now, King James I, who was the king of England, reigned from 1603 to 1625, which was during the period of slavery's inception. And the term slavery for them had a very negative, as it does now, connotation. Things were considered subhuman, remember? They were inferior, even animalistic.
Wow.
They were counted as chattel, not as human. When you counted the pig and the horse and the cow, you also counted your... We'll leave the word alone.
Uh-oh.
They got one pig, we got one cow, we got... You know what I'm saying.
Now.
Remember, the King James Version was written... And as the slave trade developed, Europeans created a racist ideology which could be used to justify the enslavement of Africans. Is it any wonder why the translators were reluctant to refer to the saints of God as slaves? Slaves have been denoted as being inhuman, savage. Even the continent itself was referred to as the dark continent. So to call a saint a slave, what are you saying here? Because if you make a saint a slave and you make a slave a human, then we're imprisoning, beating, whipping, doing horrific things, tortures to people that are human. So you got to make them continue to do what you did. So keep in mind, during this time, during the time of slavery, we had to dehumanize these human beings in order for us to justify what we did to them. So when they wrote the book, we can't use the word slave. We can't use that word. So let's use servant. That's a little less stigma to the word. Yet in order for Christ to be master in our lives, he must become our master, and we must become his slaves. The believer who becomes a slave to Christ surrenders his will to do the will of his master.
Amen.
And for his part, the master provides for and cares about his slave. Don't equate the mastery of man to the mastery of Christ. The mastery of Christ is one of compassion, love, concern. His mastery took him to the cross. His mastery made him kneel down before his disciples and wash their feet. That's what kind of master he was. He didn't have a bull whip. He didn't have a noose. He didn't have the cruel devices like the rack and other devices that were used to torture the slave. He only had love for his slave. He only had love for those who follow after him. And it's not a bad thing to be a slave for Christ. Paul reminds believers that the be owned by Christ is to be owned to follow him obediently, because we were bought with a price. You know, unlike the modern slavery that we understand, the master bought the slave. But in this case, the master paid the price, not in terms of coins and denarii and dollars and cents, but with his own blood, with his own body. Unlike being a slave under man, having Christ as master is a great blessing that makes spiritual growth possible. Salvation involves a change in masters. Formerly, Satan and sin controlled our lives like an evil slave master. By faith in Christ, the believer has been made free from slavery to sin. Romans 6, verses 16 through 23. And I think I'm going to read that. Any questions or any comments or anything that anyone wants to share at this moment while I look for that, you can do it at this moment. If not, we're going to go right into it, because it's so vitally important for us to understand who we are in relationship to Christ.
Amen.
Honest with ourselves, if no one else, so that we can become all that Christ requires us to be in his lordship. Chapter 6, verses 16 through 23 read as such. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, slaves, I'm going to say, to obey his slaves you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members slaves to righteousness unto holiness. But when you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. Oh, my God. When you were sinning, you were free from being righteous. You were liberated from righteousness when you were a sinner. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and becoming slaves to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Once you become slaves to holiness, slaves to righteousness, then the wages of sin, which bound us and enslaved us and doomed us to death, has been released from you. And the irony is, the paradox, if you will, is to become a slave to Christ is to become free indeed. The next part we want to deal with, honoring Yahshua HaMashiach as king. Now we obey him as a teacher, we serve him as a master, and we honor him as king. Christ in his lordship is not only to be obeyed as a teacher and served as a master, but he is to be honored as king. As king, the Lord is to have reign in your life. In Philippians 2:10-11, we are reminded that at some point, sooner or later, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah. He is sovereign and he is king. Christ, who now reigns in exile from heaven, ultimately will be acknowledged and recognized as King of Kings over the whole world as well as heaven. Matthew 28:18 says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's our king. Is he your king? Does he reign in your life? Is your desire only to please your king? Does he rule the world that you live in? Does he rule your home? Does he rule the family that you head? Is he the ultimate ruler? Does he rule your church? Or do we rule our church? Are we the heads of our church? You know, I have a problem when people name their church after a man. I have a problem when people name a ministry after a human being, a man or a woman. I have a problem with that because it's not our ministry and it's not our church. Mm-hmm. All we can do is establish what God has led us to establish. We don't found nothing because it's God's idea. It should be anywhere. It should be his idea.
Should be.
A lot of churches are founded by man for man's sake and for his purpose. Sometimes we found a church because I'm a janitor, but in the church I'm the pastor. So in my job I'm the janitor, taking orders from somebody else, but in church I'm a pastor. And so I love the fact that I'm in control. But let me tell you something, a church that's been controlled by man is a church that soon will fail. But how about those churches that are mega churches, and I know they're only about the person? Don't worry about it, honey. There's all kind of eyes of watching things that are being done in the name of God. Man, it says in Revelation that there was a church that had a reputation in the world, but God called them a dying, dead church. So be careful what man thinks. Man may applaud you and honor you and lift you up and give accolades towards you today, but let me tell you about man. Man's fickle. Ask David about it. Man is fickle. He can be on your side today and your worst enemy today.
Mm.
In fact, sometimes he pretends he's on your side just to find out your weakness so he can topple you today.
My God.
Well, I'm your buddy. I'm 100% behind you, yes. Believe that. But he's 100% behind you is right. All the way behind you. But God will stick with you, even sometimes when you don't stick with him. Because if that were not the case, many of us would already be gone astray. All these messages we preach, it would be a lost cause. If God is still not in control, if God is still not having his heart turned toward us, where would we be? Because even as Christians, I know for a fact, I have not always lived the way I should live and acted the way I should act and do the things I should do, even as a Christian, while I was a Christian. All the thanks be for God's grace and his mercy that still pleads my case even when I don't find myself worthy of his pleading my case. That's what kind of master, that's what kind of Lord, that's what kind of king we serve. He doesn't say off with their heads immediately when some infraction is done against him. He doesn't say put them in the torture chamber. He doesn't say put them in the tower. Or exile him. Or banish him. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Finally, we are to worship Christ as God. Most important of all, when believers call Yahshua Lord, they were in fact calling him God. They are recognizing his divinity in the words of St. John 1:1-5 and 14. You know what it says? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And then in 14 it says, and the Word became flesh, Jesus, Yahshua. The Word, who is God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In translating the Old Testament in the Greek, the Lord was used over 6,000 times to replace Jehovah or Yahweh. Lord was the title that belonged especially to God. It stood for God's highest name. Sometimes when you couldn't rightfully feel a sense of respect to say his name, you just say Lord, Adonai. To confess Jesus as Lord is to call him God. That's what Yahshua means. It means the Lord God with us, and that the Lord God will deliver, and the Lord God will save. All that God is, Jesus is, St. John 20:28. We are to worship Christ as God. Worship goes beyond praise. It is an act of bowing down and honoring the Lord, humbling ourselves before him, and reverencing his majesty. It's more than a shout. It's a change of heart. It's a deep thing. It's something that we acknowledge that without him we can be nothing. That without him there's no good thing in us. That without him I can accomplish nothing. But with him all things are possible. I can see Jacob now wrestling with the angel of the Lord, which is no more than the pre-incarnate Christ. There by that brook of Jabbok. And they wrestled all night and day, just wrestled. And finally the angel of the Lord touched the hip socket of Jacob and it dislocated. And then the dawn began to come again and the angel of the Lord said, let me go, the sun's coming up. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Now, most of us, when we say bless me, we would have meant make me whole again. Heal me of my affliction. You done broke my hip. Now make my hip whole again. But that's not what Jacob meant. He wanted him to change who he was and make him to be somebody else. He wanted him to make him different on the inside out and not on the outside in. And so the angel of the Lord, knowing the heart of Jacob, said, you're no longer going to be called Jacob, which means supplanter and trickster and schemer, but I'm going to name you Israel, which means you prevail against God and man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the man he's talking about, you prevailed against yourself. And you prevailed against God in the sense that you would not let me go until I gave you what I had preordained you to be, and that was somebody special. Because Jacob, if we remember right, even from his mother's womb, he was supposed to be the head of the family. That was God's plan for him. But you know how folk do. because he's not my Lord, I got to help him along a little bit. I got to rush it a little bit. It's taking too long. I thought he'd do it a long time ago, and it seems like he's taking forever to get it done. So let me try to rush things along a little bit. Let me get my mama's help, and we can conspire to trick both Esau and my daddy Isaac into giving me what God said he was going to give me anyhow. And we wonder why we end up like Joseph, Jacob's son, or like Jacob himself, who was running away from his brother for years and years and years. Joseph was thrown into prison, became a servant first, then thrown into prison. Yes, Joseph was told he was going to be over his brothers and over even his mother and his father. But instead of waiting for God's time and allowing God to be the Lord and master, he wanted to take the bull by the horns and do it for himself. I'm here to tell you, if God says it, that should settle it, and you wait on God's time to perform it. Only when that happens can life go smoother than you would have it go by doing it your way. God said you're going to be an apostle. Wait for God to make it happen.
Amen.
Don't get three other apostles and a couple of bishops and say, the Lord done told me, so let's get it done. You wait till God says it.
That's
you
right.
Wait till God makes it happen. Because when it happens in God's time, preachers and ministers that want to be pastors, wait for God. Don't start putting up your shingles yet and the little cross on the red door. Don't rush into all that right now.
No, that's right.
He knows the timing of it all.
Yes.
Yes, from the very foundation of the world, he had a plan for you. But he has a plan. Anybody who has a plan has things all mapped out. You know how we do. If you write a proposal to a business, you put out an immediate plan, what your immediate designs are, a five-year plan, what you see this business being in 5 years, what you see this place being in 10 years, what you think this place is going to be in 25 years. They want to see the full plan of your proposal. Now, you may want to say, well, I see us going all around the world, and you can't even, you still in your house.
Yeah.
Go around the world and show me how that's going to happen. Then that's where you show out your plan. Yes, I'm here. I want to get there, and this is how we're going to do it. With us as Christians, we need to allow God to make each step of the plan come to fruition. Each step, when I walk into the door, what I want to see, after 5 years, what I want this to be, according to the will of God. Where does God want me to be in 10 years with this plan that he has for me? Wait for God to reveal it. He can reveal immediately. He can reveal the whole thing to you from start to finish if he chooses to. But most time he doesn't do it that way. He gives it to us as we can handle it, as we can accomplish it, as he wants us to do it. Because it's his plan. And he knows when he wants to start it. He knows when he wants it to really launch off. And he knows when he wants it to come to full bloom. I think it should happen immediately. I think it should happen right now. Let me save 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 people right now. I would love that to happen. I would love the church to be full. I would love to be bursting all over where even a stadium wouldn't be large enough to hold the people. But I got to say, but you're the master and you're the Lord, Lord, and you're my king and you are my God. And so it's your plan. So I got to wait for you to make it come about. He already tells us in Jeremiah that I only mean you to have a great hope. I have a great future for you. Not a future reek with evil and disappointments and heartache, but a future that is great, hopeful,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But you got to do it according to what I would tell you, how I tell you to do it. Because I'm your Lord, and I'm your master, and I'm your king, and I'm your God. If he is the Lord of your life, and that's what we're saying all in a nutshell, the lordship of Christ takes in all four of those component parts. He can be your Lord and yet he's not your master. He can be your master and yet not your king. He can be your king and not your God. But when he becomes the Lord as teacher, the Lord as master, your Lord as king, and your Lord as God, then the lordship of Christ can have full majesty and bloom and power in your life. And let me tell you, if you give your life to all power and you give your life to the absolute authority, then you become an absolute power, and you become an absolute authority. If God is for us, who can be against us? But then we can also add this, if we're for God, who can be against us? God bless you, dear hearts, and we thank you for the opportunity, Evangelist Scott, for allowing me to speak this evening. Prayerfully, something was said, something was spoken this evening that will edify and encourage others along the way.
Well, amen, amen. You still had an hour left, but I guess if you're done, you're done. We do thank God for the word on tonight. It was really an enriching word. It was really something to give us cause to pause and think. Is Jesus really our Lord? Is he really our master? Are we really slaves to righteousness? Or do we just do what we want to do, and when we want something from him, then he becomes Lord?
Amen. That's right.
Something to think about right there.
Wonder.
Yeah, and I know I had seen someone post something on Facebook, and they were saying how, you know, God is not a genie in a bottle.
No, he's not.
Amen.
You know, he's not. You just go whenever you want something. That's the only time you communicate with him is when you want something. And if that's the case, then you are a liar. He is not your Lord. You are a liar. He is not your king. Because if I had my spouse and he only spoke to me when he wanted something, and then the rest of the time he didn't speak to me, that's not a relationship.
Well,
it's a sideways relationship, but it's not a right relationship.
Amen, that's right.
And there's a lot of sideways relationships going on. Folks thinking that God is at the snap of their finger. Folks thinking that God is at their beck and call. Folks thinking they can live any kind of way and still call him Lord. But guess what, babe? Just like you said in your words, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
See, like you said, people say, God knows my heart. He sure does know your heart. He knows why you're saying Lord only because you want something. He knows why you're saying Master because he knows you want something, and as soon as you get it, oh, you'll forget about him until the next time. So I'm going to say, like you say, be careful when you say he knows my heart, because he really does know your heart.
That's right.
He really does know your heart. So I do thank God for the word, and I'm going to stop because you could hear I'm getting ready to take off from where you left over, but we want you to continue the lesson that God gave you.
Yes, and let me say this, that it's so very true. We have to be honest. See, God wants us to be honest with, like Michael Jackson said, you've been looking at the mirror, the man in the mirror. What does the man, the woman, the child see when he looks in the mirror? We're so ready to judge somebody else and so ready to criticize someone else and so ready to see their pitfalls and their lackings and their whatever they're doing, their sin, their infractions and all that. We're so ready to look at that and critique it and tear it apart and them too. But what about the one you see when you look in that mirror? Who do you see? You see a righteous man or a righteous woman who follows after God in every aspect of their life? If not, you better work on you.
My Lord.
But work on that area still is falling short of you, like I always say, and my wife knows it. You better be careful of those foxes that are in that vine, that are tearing up things in the vine. The wolf may devour the lamb, but those foxes do a heck of a job.
So do.
On those vines, and on the vine is the lifeblood. You know, the vine of a fruit is what keeps the fruit alive.
Mm-hmm.
You destroy the vine, you eat the vine, you devour the vine, the fruit will die. Now, if the fruit of the Spirit is those things mentioned in Galatians, if somebody keeps on working on that vine, those fruits are going to die, love and patience and temperance and all the things, kindness and all the things that are mentioned there, they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
If you just keep on letting that fox in you work on that vine. The vine is Christ. He's the vine.
He says, I am the true vine.
He's that vine. And if we let things sever our relationship with him, tear that apart, then then the fruit that we do have will soon dissipate and die.
My Lord.
Because the fruit is only nourished by the strength of the vine.
That's right.
And if we don't stay hooked up to that vine, our strength will be weakened. That's why he says, you know, you better allow me to be your Lord and your Master and your King and your God, because you can't do nothing without me.
Mm.
Though you think you can.
Mm.
I was just talking to somebody not long ago. I think it was this past weekend, Saturday, I believe it was. And they were saying to me about, you know, that they don't have no time. They got too much to do to spend time with the Lord. And my wife was talking to them a little further, and they said, well, you know, I do say my prayers. When I want him to do this for me and when I want him to do that for me, then I say my prayers and I ask him. And I said, my Lord, but then, you know, you're looking for a job right now. You're not seeking him about that. You're looking for a better relationship with people around you. And you're not seeking him about that. It bothers me. It used to always bother me. Even now it does. As a preacher, and you hear people talking about why they don't come to church and why they don't come to worship service and why they don't come to Bible study, because I get my life straight first, Rev. You're not going to get your life straight enough to be worthy to stand before your Master. You're never going to be right enough to be able to stand before your Lord and your teacher and your King and your God. You'll never be right enough. It's only by your having a fellowship and a relationship with him do you improve, do you spiritually grow. Don't get it twisted. You can't work it out for yourself. If you could, you would have worked it out a long time ago. See, you're almost 50, and you're still trying to work out your life. If you could have worked it out, you would have worked it out when you were 15, 25, 35. Here you're almost 2 years away from being 50. And you're still trying to work it out. That's part of your problem. That's part of your problem. You're trying to work it out. Let God work it out. So that's one thing about a master-slave. A slave doesn't have to worry about where he's going to sleep because the master provided the housing. And God said he provides the house. Christ went into heaven to provide you with housing, didn't he? I go to prepare a place for you.
Well,
not just an ordinary place, not no shack in the back of the field. He's preparing a mansion. That's what kind of master we serve. And he said, and this master, I'm coming back. I'm going to receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what kind of king we serve.
Mm-hmm.
He don't live in the palace and we live in a shack. He may live in the palace, but we live in a mansion.
Yes.
You know, ain't no much different between a palace and a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing that's different, I really believe, is a palace has a throne in it and a mansion doesn't. But those chairs almost look like thrones in a mansion. They're all cushioned and leather and all that kind of mess. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing that a mansion is. Many whole lot of rooms. Mansion's an impressive thing. So the master we serve, the Lord we serve, doesn't mean that we have to subject ourselves to not receiving blessings, but we're showered with blessings. And that's why I tell folks, I said, you know, this year, 2013, I'm going to let him be my master. I'm going to let him be my Lord, even the more than I ever have in my life. Because we never reach that perfect place until we get to heaven. But every day of my life, I'm going to try to be more and more, allowing him to be more and more that Lord and that master and that king and that teacher and that God.
Yes.
Because I want to please him. No conditions, and I want this year, 2013, this is not going to be a season like something, season that I'm blessed, but I want this season to be a for me to be a blessing to somebody else.
Glory to God.
Because God's blessings are true. He already said he's going to bless me. So why do I keep on hopping and doing that? I need a blessing. Yeah, I already said you are. You do your part. You be a blessing to somebody, and the more you're a blessing to somebody else, the more I'm going to be a blessing to you, because I want you to continue to bless somebody else.
Amen.
We want blessings so that we're blessed.
Yes.
We want blessings so that we can enjoy and rest in the blessing that he's given us. That's not how it works, dear hearts.
How it works.
The more we're blessed, the more we're supposed to be a blessing. And the more we're blessed, the more blessed we become.
My.
And let me tell you something. A lot of times blessings aren't given by way of money and position and prosperity and all the other things that some would like you to believe. Sometimes it's just a good feeling to be a blessing.
Yes.
See, somebody down and out and discouraged and feeling unloved and thrown in the towel and they're giving up on life, and all of a sudden now here they may be, they got a good job now, they have a family, they have children of their own, they now have a different attitude about life because you stop by and encourage them a little bit. That can be a blessing if you want that to be. When I used to be a boy, and this woman, I was a boy, I preached in 64, and I didn't, you know, as a boy, and now I'm a grown man, and she came to the church I was preaching at as a grown man, and she said, Reverend, and she was blind by this time, her name was Miss Ethel Boston, and she came to me, she said, Reverend Scott, I said, yeah, at that time, now I'm Reverend now, and pastor and all the rest of that. She said, you don't remember, but I joined church under you, my life has never been the same since. My husband and I got back together. At that time, they were estranged. They were almost ready to get divorced. We raised our children together. Now the husband now was a trustee of the church and all of this type of thing. And I didn't know. I didn't remember because I was a 12-year-old boy. I preached my trial sermon. She said, oh, yeah, I was there at your trial sermon when you preached about Job and all this. Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And I remember that sermon, and it changed my life forever. And then when I became blind, it's the one thing that kept me going and kept me holding on to my faith. But in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And I hugged her. I said, my dear heart, now you blessed me today. You blessed me in such a powerful way to know that a little 12-year-old boy that had cerebral palsy, that limped up into the pulpit and proclaimed the good news of God through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, touched this grown woman because she was a woman older than my mother. And even then, she was natural. She was still older than my mother. So just to know that she was touched, her life was changed. And when this catastrophe happened into her own life of blindness, that she remembered something that this little boy said long time ago in a church in a small town called Darby, Pennsylvania, that changed her life, changed her husband's life, and changed her family's life forever. See, that's a blessing to me. Did she say, now here's $5,000 for what you did for me? She didn't say nothing like that. I gave her hugs, she went her way, and I went mine.
Well,
actually, she's gone now. She's passed off the scene now. But I remember that if she had to give me $1 million. I remember that. I was thinking about 30-something years old when I saw her again. She remembered what this little boy said about in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. See, those are the blessings that money can't buy. That a big car and a luxury liner and a personal jet, it can't pay for. You don't know how I felt when this woman told me that. I think I was even going through some things in my life. And so God will let people come in your life at the right time that will encourage you. I was going through my own little hell at that moment of my life, and she got in by and said, thank you. Little now grown man couldn't even see who I was, but you recognized my voice. And I always had this big booming voice. Even as a boy, I had this booming voice. She couldn't see who I was by the time she saw me at 35. But she remembered that voice, that old big voice, and she wanted just to say thank you. Sometimes a thank you is all that you need to let you know that it was all worth everything you had to sacrifice, everything you had to do. So, dear hearts, I just say again, I say, let God be God. Let him be your Lord. Let him be your teacher. Let him be all that he wants you to himself to be to you, your master. You're not coming up short when you allow him to be your master. You're not coming up short when you follow after his teachings. Your life will be better than you ever hoped it to be, because he only wants the best for you.
Hallelujah.
And so, you know, we thank God this evening. We thank the apostles for being here. I just thank my wife always for allowing God to continue to use her. She's growing every day in the spirit of God. She's allowing God just to mold her and shape her in such a wonderful way. And God has so many wonderful things. I thank God for Apostle Timberlake and Apostle Greenleaf and his wife, and I just know that God brought us all together for a purpose. I believe in that. I don't believe nothing is coincidence. I don't believe in happenstance. And I certainly don't believe in luck. Believe everything is God's purpose. Amen. Everything is under God's plan, if you want it to be. So we can look at it and shrug our shoulders, hey, nice meeting you. Bye. I just don't buy that.
Amen.
Pray about what he wants us to do and how he wants us to be together and what way we can work together. We need to pray on that, not that he brought us together, because that was his plan. And then we need to pray this through, and then I'm through. We need to say, Lord, let me submit to you. It's not about who is the chief of this and who's the head of that, but let me submit to you. Because when it's all said and done, we're all going to be humble at your feet. Whatever you would have me to do, it's not about big eyes and little U's. It's not about who's going to take the credit and who's going to be the boss and who's going to. It's not about that.
Amen.
Because the real boss, sure enough, ain't no doubt about it, is you.
Thank you, Chief.
If there's any chief apostle, you're the one. If there's any real high priest, you're the high priest. We may be priests and preachers and pastors, but you're the high priest.
Yes, indeed.
And if he ain't that, then I don't want to be a part of it anyway.
My.
But there's only one Lord you can have. We said a minute ago, a slave can't choose which master he serves. The master chooses which slave he wants to serve him. And all the slave says is, yes, master. Are we ready to say yes, master?
Yes.
400 years, our folk were saying master to some man. Are we ready to say now, in 2013, yes, master to God?
Yes.
I'm God.
And surrender everything. Everything.
Everything.
Things we're reluctant to surrender.
Yes.
Don't want to give up. The things that we find comfort in.
Come on now.
Find security in. The things that we find appeasing in. The things that we always have had. And I don't know how I can live without that thing.
Come on now.
Are you willing to surrender that thing?
Come on now.
The hostility you have towards somebody. The unforgiveness you have towards somebody. Are you willing to surrender that thing?
Jesus.
Yeah, but they did too much to me. They did not just once or twice, but a whole lot of times. And I don't know if I can ever forgive them. Christ said you will forgive somebody 7 times 70. One sin.
That's right.
One sin. Not all the sins, 70 times 7, so that's 144 sins. No, one sin 144 times. So what he's saying is forgive forever. Because there ain't no way in the world somebody can do something of the same sin 144 times. And you forgive that, you can't forgive the 145th sin, which is another kind of sin altogether. If you can give somebody the same sin 144 times, you're saying a lot. That's saying a whole lot.
Mm.
And that's what he expects of us.
My Lord.
Be forgiving in every area. How can he ask that of me? Because that's what he does for me. How many times have I sinned, even the same thing, in 61 years of living? And he forgives, and he forgives, and he forgives. If I come with a contrite heart and a repentant spirit, he forgives. He's good to forgive. And not only does he forgive me, he forgets it and throws into the sea of forgetfulness.
My Lord.
And yet we find it so hard to forgive and find it even harder to forget. And yet if I would ask you right now, what did you do on April the 15th, 1965? I'd venture to say most of us can't remember. Why? Because it wasn't special. I don't choose to remember. I don't want to remember. I don't even want to try to remember. It's not important. Things that aren't important, we do forget. And when somebody says something to us and we think it's an insult or we think it's beneath them or we think it's an affront or slanderous or libelous or whatever we may think it is, think about the fact what they said about Christ and it wasn't true.
Hmm.
There's elements of truth in it. There's elements of truth in what you said about me. If I'm like Paul, when I would do good, evil's ever present. So I'm not going to say everything you said that's bad about me, there ain't no truth in it, because there's elements of truth. Because the only good thing in me is the God in me.
Yeah.
That's the only good thing in any of us, for that matter. So if the perfect man can say, Father, forgive them for all they did, sinless man, blameless man, no taint, no wrinkle, no spot of sin, if he can forgive, who am I that sin, by thought, word, and deed, by intention, by omission, and commission? Who am I to say I'll never forgive them for that? Nobody strung me up. Nobody hit me with a cat and nine tail that had metal, glass, all mixed within the strap. Nobody hit me like that.
Mm.
Nobody hung me up from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on a cross and drove a spear in my side and spit on me and mocked me and put a crown of thorns on my head and made me carry a 200-pound cross up a mountain. Nobody ever did that to me. And for somebody else?
Mm.
No sin of his own for somebody else's sin?
Mm.
And he bore all that for you and for me and for my great-grandmother and for my great-grandson?
Jesus.
Without saying a murmuring word.
Without saying a murmuring word.
All 10,000 angels.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, we said he was king of both heaven and earth. So I'm sure a king of heaven could certainly call down something on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose to die alone.
He did that.
And all he asked us to do is live for him.
Mama.
His death would not be in vain. And so that the world could see what it is to be a follower of this kind of man.
Mm.
A follower of one who gave up so much for them. That's what we're supposed to show the world. That we are peculiar people. That we are different. That we march to a different beat. That we don't listen to the same tune that you listen to. And we don't march to the same march that you march to. And we don't go in the same direction that you go in that you're going in, but we are listening to a different beat, and we're following a different tune, and we're marching in a different army.
Yes.
And we're serving a different Lord.
Jesus.
There is Satan in the world. We serve the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You serve so that you can get something out of it. We serve it so that Christ can be lifted up and draw men unto him. Not they be lifted up and drawn to me. But who am I but a servant of God? That's all I am. That's what minister means. If you look at the definition, it means servant. It doesn't mean head of.
Right? Say that again.
It doesn't mean lord over.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, you know, I'm this and that. In fact, Hebrews said, don't act like you're a lord over folks. Humble yourself.
Come on now with that.
Humble yourself. Self.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know who you are without you wearing a badge.
Yes.
I am. Who? What?
What?
An old Native American saying is, what you are speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear what you say. And that's what God is saying. When Christ said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. He's saying, what you say means very little. But he that doeth is what you do that counts. It's what you do that God looks at. It's what you do, how you treat one another. Do you follow the mandates of St. Matthew chapter 25, visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty? Going to the prison house. Do you do that?
No.
Do you compel those who are lame and those who are blind and those who are maimed and those who are deaf to come to the great feast of the Master? Do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we just ignore certain people and welcome other people?
Uh-oh.
Do we respect some and ignore others?
Ma-ma-ma.
Christ said in the Great Commission, go into all the world, baptizing everyone. I don't mean everyone, but he didn't say that. So in fact, one of the things we're going to do at our Bible study, I believe we're going to do it tomorrow night, we're going to talk about some of the teachings of Christ and see whether we live up to the letter of those teachings. in the spirit of those teachings. If he's our teacher and we listen to the mastery and the instruction of the teacher, let's see what the teacher says, and let's see if we are listening to and not being only hearers but doers of what the teacher has taught us. If a teacher teaches you a math equation and you never use it, you may be fooled in time. You can be tricked in how much change I give you if you don't know how much one and one is. If you don't know addition and subtraction, I can fool you out of anything. If you can't read and I throw up an application at you for a job and you can't fill it out because you don't know how to read, oh, my Lord, with me. But we think that we can be Christians and not only listen to but follow after the teachings of the teacher and still claim I'm a Christian. See, a doctor can read a medical book, but until he begins to operate or treat a patient, he's still nothing but a student. It's when he treats his first patient and applies what he was taught, can we say he truly is a doctor now? In fact, what many times we'll do is say, how many patients have you ever had that you treated with this condition? That's what you really should ask a doctor. How many patients have you treated with the condition you're treating me with? If he says to you, you're my first one, I will at least get a second opinion. But we feel more comfortable, don't we, when he says, I do this routinely. I got a lot of patients I've treated like this, and I've always been successful. My heart is much more at ease. And so it is with our Christian walk. If we read the Bible and don't apply it, what good is reading the Bible at all?
Mm.
We're still students, and we have not graduated to become Christians yet. Only when we begin to do the work do we get the degree, the diploma, the certificate, the license to be called Christian. God bless you.
All righty. Amen.
Yes, I did have a little more to say.
Well, you did three times, you preacher, so it's okay. Glory to God. We actually have three callers on the line.
Amen.
Donna Shaw. We have, of course, Apostle Timberlake and Apostle Greenleaf. So at this time, I'm going to turn the floor over to Apostle Timberlake if you have any comments.
I just enjoyed myself here tonight. Amen. I've been getting called away left and right. My daughter's been calling me from the hospital, and my granddaughter and several other members of the church have been calling me to congratulate about my daughter giving birth to a son today. And,
congratulations.
Grandpa?
Yes, sir. I tell you the other truth, I am I'm kind of worn out. I have enjoyed myself. I've enjoyed the word. Amen.
Thank
Glory
you,
be to God. I enjoy the truth. Amen. We used to say in the church as I was coming up, when the preacher would preach, we would take a scarf or take a bandana and wrap it around our neck and our arm, and we'd be limping on our way out the door. And that was to let the preacher know, amen, glory be to God, that he done bruised us up pretty good, amen, with that word. But it feels good, amen, glory be to God, to hear the truth, amen, glory be to God. One thing that I've come to understand, I'm drawing up a lesson on this now, but the Holy Ghost, amen, spoke to me the other day and told me, said, righteousness is a byproduct of obedience. You
amen.
Don't have righteousness without obedience. Obedience, amen, glory be to God, you don't. No, it's impossible. It's impossible. There is no such thing as righteousness outside the righteousness of God. There is no righteousness. People can sit back and pat themselves on the back about the good that they do or whatever the case may be, but there is no righteousness outside of that God has established himself. What
amen.
He said in his word, what he said in his word, that is what we are to adhere to. Not what man says, not what man thinks, not what he feels. Amen. I'm so glad I am set free from man and his Adamic nature. I mean what I say. His opinion means nothing to me. What matters to me is what is written in my Bible that was spoken out of the mouth of God himself. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'll go to my grave defending. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll go to my grave defending, amen, the word of God, the holy engrafted word of God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The only thing that cleanses us, according to John 15:3, Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It is the word of God that delivers people. It is the word of God that sets people free. Amen. Glory be to God. That's why I'm a stickler for that thing. It's got to be the word or it's nothing at all. Amen. Glory be to God. I appreciate, amen, Apostle Greenleaf, amen, inviting me, amen, to come and hear, amen, the word of the Lord. Like I said, I enjoy the truth. Amen. I enjoy the truth. Amen. And I pray that God bless you, amen, and your wife. Amen. Glory be to God. Real, real good. That he continues to elevate you. Amen. Glory to God and use you to an even greater degree. Amen. Glory be to God. That is indeed my prayer. God bless you. And again,
God bless you too, sir.
For having me. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Apostle Greenleaf.
Amen. Amen. Greetings to you all. Amen. Greetings to you, Joseph. Amen. And a very blessed greeting to the new grandpa. Amen.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Amen. And y'all, go by his page. He's got the pictures up there of the baby already. Very, very beautiful grandson. Amen. Just so happy for him. Amen.
Bless you.
But most of all, Bishop, we thank God for that word. I enjoyed that. Amen. I was already posting how good the word was tonight on Facebook. Amen.
Bless you, sir.
I'm just so blessed to be able to have had the time. Amen. That God worked it out so that I could enjoy this word and get this teaching. You surely teach tonight. You know.
Thank you so much.
Amen. We need the
teaching. Thank you, Lord.
So I enjoyed that immensely, and God bless you.
God bless you too, sir.
Amen. Amen. And then we did have one more caller on the line. Uh-oh. She hung up. She hung up. That was somebody that you, she checks in sometimes, but she hung up, so I guess she didn't have anything to say. Anybody in the chat room, if you have anything to say, God's remnant, victory against all odds, thank you so much for joining us on tonight.
Amen.
If you have any questions or comments, you feel free to call area code 323-693-3054. Again, that's area code 323-693-3054. If you have a question or comment for Bishop Gerald Scott on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if nobody else has anything to say, I guess we're going to bring this broadcast to a close and just tell God thank you for all that he's taught us on tonight, all that he's done for us. Glory to God, because I'll tell you something, that what this was a sure enough word, and it's a right now word for a right now time. Glory to God. We ought to examine ourselves and see,
yes,
Jesus really is our Lord. You know, and I just want to throw this in there right quick, honey. You know, if Jesus is really our Lord and he's really our master, and you said something, you said, if he asked you to stop doing something, would you stop doing it? And, you know, sometimes some things that God asks us to do, our flesh gets offended.
Yes.
Oh, stop watching television. Stop watching this. Don't go here anymore. Don't do that anymore. Don't hang with this person anymore. Don't, you know, sometimes our flesh gets offended.
It does.
I would rather for my flesh be offended and I make it into heaven than, you know, let my flesh be offended and do what I want to do and then wind up in hell and then in the lake of fire.
Remember Christ said?
Yes.
That right eye plucked out.
Yes. I don't want to be in the lake of fire. I don't want to be in the lake of fire. And I know this, that through the teachings that God has given you, because we have Bible study here every week, but
the studies that God has given you are teaching me and helping me to really be able to surrender.
My Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Not just say, okay, well, here, I'm just going to submit. No, but surrender.
Yes.
Denotes humility.
Yes.
It means that I don't have nothing else. I'm giving it all up. I'm giving up my right to you, Lord. I'm giving up my will and my way to you, Lord. I'm giving it up.
Yes, Lord.
That's what he wants us to do. In order for him to be our Lord, he wants us to do that. And if you look in John chapter 15, in the very first verse, it says, I am the true vine.
Yes.
And my father is the gardener. And the King James Version said, my father is the husbandman. He said, I'm the true vine. See, folks getting hooked up on other vines, that's not the truth. Folks getting hooked up on other stuff, that's not the real vine. It's a fake vine.
That's right.
Okay? Uh-huh. But they're getting hooked up on it, thinking they're attached to the real vine. But I thank God today that you can know the true vine. If you get in your word, if you study your word, if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand God's word, you can get hooked up to the true and living vine. And there's only one true vine, and that's Jesus. There is no other vine that you can get on that's the truth. It's only Jesus.
That's
it's only Jesus. Glory to God. So we thank God for that, because that's a whole nother lesson right there about Jesus being the true vine. But let us remember the words that were spoken tonight by Bishop Scott. Let us remember and question ourselves. Let us do, like he said, start with the man in the mirror. Let us look at ourselves. Let us question ourselves and say, is Jesus really my master? Am I really his slave?
My God.
Am I really allowing him to be my Lord? And only you can answer that.
That's right. That's
only
right.
You can answer that. Because can I tell you this? Going to church every Sunday does not make Jesus your Lord. Obedience. Complete obedience.
That's
immediate
it.
Obedience. Okay? That's what makes him your Lord. Not chucking your teeth and rolling your eyes. If he says do it, just do it. That's when he becomes your master. That's when he becomes your Lord for real. If you look at in any of the history, black history, or any program denoting slavery, if the master said something to you, there was no eye rolling, there was no lip person, there was no smacking of the teeth, there was none of that. They just did what they were told.
That's right.
Because they knew that if they didn't, you couldn't even look at the master.
That's right.
You couldn't even look at the master. But thanks be to God, this Jesus, this man who wants to be our Lord, this man who wants to be our master, glory to God, he made a way for us to be able to come and talk, hallelujah, to the Father. We don't have to go to any man. We can go straight to the Father, glory to God, because of the master.
Yes.
Don't worry about all that other stuff. Him and his Father are one. The Master and the Father are one. The Lord and the Father are one anyway. So why not go to him? Why not obey? It's better to obey than what?
Sacrifice.
Better than sacrifice.
To obey than sacrifice. God don't want our funky sacrifices anyway. God don't want this strange fire coming up to him anyway. A lot of the stuff that's going on, the shucking and jiving, the seeing how high you can fly when you're in the church, the see how many tongues you can speak in, the hiccup Messiah, I found the bow tie and all that other stuff. You know what? God knows our hearts. And after you've done all of that, what? Bodily exercise profiteth little. What after that? What are you doing behind closed doors? Is he your Lord behind closed doors?
My Lord.
My God.
Is he your Lord while you shacking up? Is he your Lord while you sipping on that Michelob? Is he your Lord while you puffing on that weed and snorting that cork? Is he your Lord?
Come on now.
What about you sitting there watching pornography? Is he your Lord?
My Jesus.
My Lord.
Oh, Lord, you know my needs. You know I'm single, Lord. You know I can't help it. You know I got to have me a little bit of fun.
My Lord. My Lord.
A little leaven leavens the whole lump.
That's right.
Open up the door to sin. Sin's going to walk right on in. It's not going to knock on the door. It's going to come right in through the crack you left open for it.
My
My Lord,
yeah. Jesus.
You better go ahead now. A little bit of sin goes a long way.
Well,
David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
My God. My God.
Dwell in the tents of wickedness. A lot of us are dwelling in tents of wickedness. If Jesus would walk in your house right now, what would he see? Would you have
my
to
God.
Go run and hide your porno movies?
Come on now.
You have to go and run and hide some of these things that you look on TV that you know your handle business looking at? Would you have to go and take the girlfriend's clothes out the closet because you know you're not married? Would you have to go and hide those?
Oh,
would you have to go and hide that?
Jeez.
You know all them sex toys you got hidden around. Would you have to go find them?
Well,
Lord God, my God.
I'm just asking the question. All them idols you got sitting up in your house, what would you have to take down in order to let Jesus in the house?
My God.
How
my
long would
God.
He have to stand on the other side of the door before you let him in?
Mm.
Right now, he's knocking at the door of our hearts. Glory
yes.
to God. He's knocking at the door of our hearts and wants us to clean up our hearts.
Yes.
See, the heart is sick. It's desperately wicked.
My God.
Yesterday.
Wicked. And we think we all of that. No, we need to get cleaned up. We need to let the blood of Jesus clean us up. We need to let the word of God clean us up.
My.
Dirty, you still dirty.
My God.
If you have dirty, you're still dirty.
Well,
my God.
Jesus.
This is what I know. We better get to the word, and we better let this word of God wash us and cleanse
yes.
us. David said, wash me.
Mm-hmm.
If you wash me, I'll be clean.
My God.
Wash me with hyssop. He said, purge me.
Yes.
See, David was, God said David was a man after his own heart. David had a repentive heart. Yeah, he did some stuff. David did some foolishness. Yeah, he did. He didn't repent right away, but he repented when he realized it was him. He realized when he was the man. Yeah, he repented. But look at the stuff that had to happen. We don't have to go through foolishness. Let's repent right now. Let's repent right now. You got ill towards your brother. Repent right now. You got ill towards your sister. Repent right now. You're not treating your wife right. Repent right now. You're not treating your husband right. Repent right now.
Yeah.
My God.
Come
my
on.
God.
You're teaching heresies. Repent right now.
My God.
You're an undercover drunk. Repent right now.
Jesus.
You're an undercover pimp. Repent right now. Come on. God sees everything.
Jesus.
Tell me, you don't got to tell Bishop Scott, you don't got to tell Apostle Greenleaf, you don't got to tell Apostle Timberlake, but guess what? God sees all and he knows all. So you got the opportunity right now while you still have breath in your body to repent.
My God.
Don't do like the people said on the song, tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow's not promised to any of us.
That's right.
You better choose the Lord today, because tomorrow very well may be too late.
Well,
I'm trying to tell you what I know. I'm trying to tell you what I know. It ain't something I heard. I was a wretch undone. I was crazy out there. I was going to church every Sunday and running up and down the aisles and Hickam Messiah helped me tie my bow tie. I found a Hyundai. I was doing all of that in church. I was on the committees in church. I was a choir director in church. I was in a ministerial class. I was in all of that in the biggest center you could find.
My God.
Still shacking up, still smoking and drinking, still lying and laying around with whoever I wanted to lay around with.
My God.
But I felt like because I was going to church every Sunday, and I was there every Wednesday, and I was there every Friday for prayer night, that I was good with God, and he was okay with me. Until he woke me up one day and said, you stink.
My God.
You stink. You are filthy in my sight. Let me tell you something. When God come at you like that, you better get it together. But guess what I thank God for? He could have left me in my filthy, stinking ways.
Yeah.
He could have left me right there. But he called me out. He called me out. And he saved me. You hear me? He saved me. But I had to repent. I had to get into that word of God. I had to change partners. I had to lose the desire for sin. I had to lose the desire to wanting to do what I wanted to do. See, God could have done to me what he did to the people in Romans chapter 1. He could have turned them over to a reprobate mind.
My God.
That's
my
what he
could
have done to me. We got a lot of reprobates running around in the church thinking that they're okay.
That's
because
right.
the ground hasn't opened up and they haven't fallen through. A lot of reprobates running around. God turned them over. God gave them over to the desires of their own flesh to do those that are not convenient.
Jesus.
And even though you may not be doing it, but you're taking pleasure in those people that are doing it.
My God.
Jesus.
My God.
Oh, I'm not walking around half naked, but I'm looking at the award show and watching them walk around all naked.
My God.
Talking about they praising God. Huh? What?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. Somebody got to preach the truth. Guess what? Send me, Lord, I'll go.
Amen.
Send me, Lord, I'll go. Because guess what? He's still cleaning me up. He's still cleaning me up, and I want him to keep cleaning me up. I want him to keep watching me. I want him to be my Lord. I want him to be my master.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want him to be.
Yes.
Do I obey him in all things? No, I don't. Am I saying that to brag? No, I'm not. I'm just telling the truth.
Because
I haven't arrived, but I'm getting better every day.
I'm getting better every day. Thank you, Jesus.
Why? Because my desire is to please God.
My
desire is to please God. My husband and I have taken our focus off of people so much it ain't even funny.
My God.
Nobody in Bible study but me and him, it's just me and him. If there's nobody in Sunday service but me and him, it's just me and him.
That's all right.
It's just like the church is full. Why? Because we want to please God. We want to be obedient.
Thank you,
Jesus. Obedient. You think it don't hurt us that people don't show up? They go everywhere else and do everything else, and then when it comes time to come to church, they got all kind of excuses. You think that doesn't hurt? Yes, it does, but guess what? We're going to be obedient, and God's going to give the increase.
Faithful. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's what I know. That's what I know. So I thank God for my husband. I thank God for him. I thank God for the word that came forth. I thank you, Apostle Timberlake and Apostle Greenlee, for joining us on tonight. I thank everybody in the chat room, BTFM, Issachar Ron. There were some more people here earlier. I thank God for you coming in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is just how me and my husband operate. Glory to God. If the Lord wills, we'll be back on Wednesday at 5 p.m. If he says the same, we will be here Wednesday at 5 p.m. Amen. So we're going to close out right now, but I'm going to play this one song. It's called Tomorrow, because that has basically become our theme song, because like my husband was saying, he was speaking to that person, and they were saying, I don't have time, you know, to think about God right now. I got too much stuff on my mind. I got too much stuff to do. And he was like, maybe at another time, maybe later. Like, look, tomorrow might not come for you. I don't know. It might not come for any of us, but let's not put God off like that. He's done too much for us. For joining us out of a Pure Heart Ministries. If the Lord says the same, we'll see you guys on Wednesday. God bless you. Everyone, have a great night.
Night.